Our next guest is one of our dearest friends, one of my dearest friends, and a person who I greatly admire, and I'm always excited when he's around. The last time we had him in October, last year, a year ago, we were celebrating his 30th anniversary with the Albany Symphony Orchestra. So rocket scientist Joe has figured out this must be 31.
Must be 31. Hi, Joe. They played the sad part of the piece there as the intro. There's a whole bunch of happy part, too.
The happy parts.
Play the happy part.
You got to go get tickets to see.
Oh, that's true.
The happy parts.
You only get sad parts until you buy your tickets.
That's right. David Alan Miller is the music director and maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, and they're going to have their opening night performance at the of the Albany Symphony Orchestra with a presentation of Tchaikovsky's Fifth. This is on Saturday, October 8th at 7:30 at the Palace Theater.
That's true. At this very coming Saturday night, and we hope everyone will show up because, as you know, it's been a couple of rough years for the arts, so the best thing you can do for us is just to come on down and join us.
Now, you came in with, you have a big book there. What
I have
is
my
that?
Score to the
Your
Grieg.
Score.
Well, in case there was some downtime, I always carry a score. I either carry a big historical biography or a score, so I'm just
and that's homework.
Yeah. My whole life is homework, you know. Yeah. I'm always cramming it deeper into my psyche as best I can.
Well, I love seeing you. I love you. You look great and are ready to go. So I'm very...
Same to you.
Yeah, very very excited to have you here. So how does it feel to start this new season, given what we've all been through collectively?
It feels very life-affirming and very exciting, and it's so nice not just to welcome our wonderful audience and community back to the concert hall, as we did last year, tentatively, and hopefully less tentatively this year, but also to bring the whole orchestra back together. Because as you remember, for much of those 2 years, we were playing in teeny tiny groups with no audience or slightly larger group with small audiences. So every concert and every season is another step back. And so this, you know, we're really entering the season with these two big blockbuster masterpieces, the Tchaikovsky Fifth Symphony and Grieg's magnificent piano concerto, as well as a beautiful new piece, recent piece, by Joel Thompson, a brilliant young composer who's still finishing his doctorate at Yale. So we've got three great pieces. And I was, so interesting, last night I was reading up on the Tchaikovsky for my little talk with you today, and I discovered that just before Tchaikovsky wrote his Eighth Symphony, his Fifth Symphony, he took this big tour all over Europe where he conducted his music in Western Europe, really for the first time in Germany and in France and England. And he befriended Edvard Grieg, and they had this mutual love society. And he even considered dedicating the Fifth Symphony to Grieg. He ended up dedicating a different piece. But so they had this really interesting connection to each other and loved each other's music. So putting Grieg on with Tchaikovsky is, in a way, sort of lovely, wonderful.
It is lovely. And did you know that, do I have this right? Did you know that prior to making the decision, or it sort of helped?
I didn't know that prior.
Yeah.
I just learned I knew they were close. I knew they had a mutual appreciation society, but I didn't know that they had this contact right at the time Tchaikovsky was creating the Fifth Symphony.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but in future interviews, I should take full credit for it.
Yes, I planned it all exactly like this. Yeah. So, the Grieg is one of these pieces. It's you know, the Tchaikovsky gets played a lot, and it's just one of the great masterpieces of 19th century Romanticism. But the Grieg, when I was a kid, that was the most popular piano concerto. And then it kind of fell out of favor for a while. But back in the 50s and 40s and 30s, it had been the go-to. And I know that because there are all these comedy sketches around it. Sid Caesar did one.
Yeah.
And what are their names? That English Wise, Malbec and Wise. They did a thing with Andre Previn or Male something.
Whatever. Yeah, okay, I don't know.
So it must have been the ubiquitous concerto because everybody made fun of it. And it's just it's just the greatest thing.
That's how you
it's
know you're
gorgeous.
Successful.
He was a young man, 25 years old, and this thing just came out of him. And it's just gorgeous.
So you just brought up two things that I find fascinating.
Yes.
One is that things fall out of favor. That is musically happens
and they fall into favor too.
And then they fall into favor or back into favor.
Or they never fall back into favor.
But it's interesting of how that happens. I know we see that in all the arts, whether
yes,
it be
tastes change constantly.
Theater or sure. music or whatever the case may be. Uh-huh. And it's literature. It's fascinating to me. And but it's sort of incumbent upon you and orchestras to find these and to well, not resuscitate exactly, but to remind us of where they are and how they are.
Yeah, and I should qualify that in that the Greek never fell entirely out of favor.
Yeah.
But it was like played every Thursday for five decades, or every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then it wasn't. And now it kind of maybe is again, but it's gorgeous and it's so fresh. You know, that's the thing about some of these pieces. You re-encounter them and you realize how fresh they are. And for me, actually, the challenge is a slightly different one because I've done these pieces a lot. So the question is, how do I get deeper into them each time I re-encounter them? And actually, I have to say, I found this wonderful site, IMSLP. It's a library site on the internet, and you actually can see a copy. They're the exact score, the manuscript scores of Tchaikovsky's Fifth and the Greek. So I've been studying the manuscript score in their own hand and comparing it to my score. And that's been a really interesting way in for me this time.
Is that helpful?
It's super helpful because it's like they're really transmitting it directly to you. When you're working off a printed page, you say, well, did he really mean that? Or did that crescendo really go there? Or is that forte really forte or fortissimo or mezzo forte? But when you see their own hand, you know exactly what they intended.
This is going to seem like a weird question because it's a very technical question.
Sure.
But for me and the audience, like dumb.
Do you care?
Like, no, I care. No, I definitely care. Right. I find it fascinating. But will I notice?
You won't notice like, oh, he really took that crescendo.
Yeah.
But you will notice like this performance feels really true or really convinced or really convincing as opposed to cursory or perfunctory. So to me, it's this issue of how I and the musicians can climb as deeply into the world and the mind and the zeitgeist of the composer. And that's really, I think, what we interpretive artists try to do in whatever genre we're in, whether it's film or theater or music or whatever, dance. And so to me, I'm always looking for ways deeper in. And I do feel like, you know, I've had a long, now that I'm in my 31st season, whatever the hell season I'm in,
31.
I feel like I've had a lot of contact with these pieces, as have our brilliant musicians who see them a lot. And so the question is, how do you get ever closer to the piece? So I think we're going to have a beautiful, powerful concert just by virtue of our communal engagement with this music.
You'll always have 2 years on me.
Well, that's it. You got
29,
your 2 years after.
You're 31. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
So you'll always be my little brother. That's it. Like a little brother to me.
Let me ask you this. I love the idea of what you're saying, the freshness of the piece. And, you know, you talk to performers in general, and they'll talk about what they get from an audience. What do you as a conductor and as an orchestra, as a unit, get from that conversation, that relationship that drives much of what you do?
It's amazing how much the audience's presence is felt. I mean, we totally can feel if the audience is with us, if the audience is engaged, if the audience is excited. Obviously, different halls are a little different. Some are more responsive, others are less responsive. But that idea of we are playing for you and the conversation is so much about your response. And that's one of the really exciting things for us about doing new music, because with new music, like this beautiful new piece by Joel Thompson, you, the audience, those of you who come Saturday night, and I hope everybody will, your response to that piece will decide whether that piece is going to continue to have a life. In this case, I think it will, because he's a beautiful, brilliant young composer, and is just getting a lot of recognition in the last year or two as he's emerging. But the audience's response and the audience involvement and the audience participation is so powerful. And of course, we found that during the first year of the pandemic when we were playing for no audience.
I was going to say.
It's like playing in a vacuum. You know, everything you do gets sucked. And you know that somebody out there is listening, and that's wonderful. But it's incredible how much harder it is to put the music across when you don't have that dialogue with the audience. And I say that just to say, please come. It's going to be a gorgeous concert. It's our big night back, first night back in October, and it's going to be a beautiful evening.
We have about 2 minutes left.
Sure.
So let me ask you how this sets up for the rest of the season.
Well, it sets up in a couple of ways. We're doing this beautiful focus at the end of the season and through the season, but particularly on our American Music Festival in June, on our Convergence Project, which is embracing and celebrating and exploring Black cultural traditions that aren't normally associated with orchestras. So Regina Carter, the great jazz violinist, will be with us in June and through the year. We've actually commissioned a new jazz violin concerto for her. It's going to be on that last concert. Mark Bamuthi Joseph, great spoken word hip-hop poetry artist, will be with us. And Adia Whitaker, great Afro-Caribbean dancer, is with us through the year doing all sorts of workshops and things for the musicians, for the community, for the board, for the staff. And that's all culminating at the end of the year. So our whole season is going to be infused with this idea of convergence. So Joelle happens to be a young Black American composer. Stuart Goodyear, our great soloist, is a young Black Canadian pianist. And we're going to be featuring a lot of people from different cultural traditions, actually, through the season, but with a real emphasis on this convergence project idea.
Name more Canadians.
More Canadians. Let's hear it for Canadians.
I love you describing that because it's just so special what you do and bringing those opportunities to people. Because, I mean, they're especially given the climate in the arts, that there are orchestras like yours and like you who are welcome and have a place on their program for this important work.
It's really just about opening our minds to all sorts of different glorious approaches to our art form, to art forms, and particularly our art form. So this is a sort of soft intro to it in that it's got just this beautiful new piece by Joelle and then two classics. But as the season progresses, there'll be a lot of different really beautiful engagements. So I hope everyone will come on down and subscribe. And, you know, on behalf of all of us in the arts, particularly the performing arts, the best thing you can do to help us climb out of these difficult years is to come on down and experience this beautiful art with us.
The opening night performance of the Albany Symphony Orchestra is this Saturday night, October 8th at 7:30 at the Palace Theater. You can find out more information by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Maestro David Allen Miller, if you are not, I want you to be my best friend.
I already am. And you are my best friend, even if you hate my guts. I don't care.
I don't hate your guts.
I consider you my best friend.
Uh-huh.
I spend every morning with you. I feel like there's nobody I spend more time with than you.
I love having you here. I wish you all the luck in the world. Send my best to the orchestra, and I can't wait to have you back in a few weeks.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to see you.